Take your Bibles, please, and go to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 6. I was talking to some church members earlier today, and they said, Pastor Monty's out of town? And I said, yes, I verified he's out of town. And there seemed some immediate discouragement at the fact that he would not be here speaking. And I said, well, the only thing I can promise you to encourage you is you'd be out within an hour. And so that is your encouragement tonight. You'll have an opportunity to go home and watch all the fireworks that are going on around the world. Well, I guess some of them have already started. Am I right about some of them have already begun? And so kind of catch a little bit of the fireworks going on. That's my favorite part of it. And so hopefully you'll get home in time to enjoy those things, have a little fellowship, get-togethers, enjoy time with family, play some games, and do things like that. Everybody approaches this time of the year different ways. There are probably some people in here that when it comes to the New Year's time, it's really anticlimactic to them. They don't see the big deal about the New Year. It's just kind of another day, and tomorrow's another day, and it's just hard to remember to write the next year on the checks, you know, and on all the things you have to sign. And it's more of an inconvenience. The New Year's is not a big deal. So how many of you are in here, you're in the room tonight, and you say, you know, it really is. With me, New Year's is not a big deal. It's not super. Don't think I'm setting you up to preach against you. I promise I'm not. But how many of you think, yeah, New Year's, you say New Year's for me is not really a big deal. It's just kind of another day and it's not much. All right, so there's several of you in the room. Okay. Well, how many of you, New Year's is kind of that, it's a big time. You enjoy it. It's kind of an evaluation time, or it's a time of celebration, or it's a family time. There's something about it that to you has become a tradition, or it's just something you enjoy. But New Year's to you is a big time. Any of you like that? All right. I'd say kind of that it would lean towards those of you thinking it's a big time. Now, Caleb Welsh, did you raise your hand for both? But you raised your hand for the second one, right? And your parents raised a hand for the first one? Wow. Do you find that there is a struggle that goes on within the Welsh home, Caleb? There is a struggle. He's over there wanting to party and have a good time, and mom and dad are saying, no, it's just like another time. I feel your pain, Caleb. Talk to me after the service. We'll try to make something fun for you this year, okay? And so everybody's a little bit different when it comes down. Honestly, I think I'm really kind of a hybrid. I'm somewhere in the middle there. New Year's for me, I mean, it's not a major deal in the sense that it's the turn of a new year and it's the next one. And it's not as big a deal just because it's a new year. But for me, it kind of becomes exciting because I do try to take advantage of the change of a calendar and the change of a year to just do some evaluating, to do some thinking, to kind of do some planning, some preparing, and just try to see what I can improve on for the next year. I think that's what makes New Year so much fun for me. In fact, my New Year's preparation kind of starts around Thanksgiving time. It's about Thanksgiving time that my mind really starts churning for what we're going to do next year. And you can ask different people within the ministries that I lead here. Usually it's around November, it's December. If you work closely with me in some of the ministries that we work in, you start to hear the new things we're going to do for the coming year and all the changes we're going to make and all these different things. You start to hear that kind of November, December time. That's kind of what I make of New Year's. And I always enjoy that feature of it. And I think that's something that whether New Year's is a big deal to you or not, I think that is something you should try to incorporate into this time of the year. It's not like it's a major thing. Tomorrow the sun comes up and then the sun will go down. It'll do the same thing it does. It's a 24-hour period of time. But because the year does change, it is a good thing, I believe, to use it as simply an easy opportunity to do some introspection, some self-evaluation that will prepare you for the coming year. It's that time of the year where you can do that. If we don't take that time, then oftentimes we just end up in a rut. Life becomes monotonous. We stop setting goals. We stop accomplishing things. We end up just kind of living life like we're just floating through it, never striving or reaching for something else. I really don't think, in a sense, that living life that way is biblical at all. In fact, you are at your Bibles at Proverbs chapter number 6, and I took you to that text for a particular reason. We're going to read Proverbs chapter number 6, verses 6, verses 7, and verse number 8. And then I'm going to jump forward to Proverbs chapter number 30. But I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. So what we are finding in verse number 6 is that according to the Scriptures, if we are to observe or to study the features, the habits of an ant, that we can get out of the sluggard, the sluggish, the monotony, the rut of life, and by considering her ways and how the ant lives and survives, you and I can actually gain wisdom. So, verse number 7 says, "The ants, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest." In other words, the verse seems to indicate that the ant is a creature who by habit and survival prepares and then reaches the goal. Prepares for the goal and reaches the goal. Prepares for its goal and reaches the goal. This is the feature of the ant. It's the summertime that they gather, and then ultimately they end up using everything that's been gathered up. The next season rolls around and they go right into the same cycle. But it's a constant preparing and attaining. Preparing and attaining. If you would go with me to Proverbs chapter number 30 now. And in Proverbs chapter number 30, verse number 24, we're going to find that again, God in His Word speaks of the ant. A slightly different way, but still the same purpose. Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 24. The Bible says, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise." Now, as those these things are little, let's pay attention, let's not overlook them, because by studying them, we can gain wisdom. What's the very next verse say? The very next verse, verse number 25, "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." In other words, the ants, again, this text is highlighting the fact that it is in the summertime that preparation takes place, and that there is a time where the goal is reached, where the preparation sees its fulfillment. The ant is one of those creatures that these two texts are highlighting to us, are creatures that exercise strict preparation so that they can attain what it is that's been prepared for. So here's what I would like to challenge you with today by looking at the ant and understanding the feature of preparation and then the attaining of what's been prepared for. If this time of the year gives you an opportunity to start thinking in your mind that there is a sense of newness and freshness that is coming tomorrow. I know it's just another day and you're going to get up and you're in the same home and all those things, but the year is changing. It is an opportunity for you to start to do something a little bit different, to almost step into the day tomorrow and think, I'm going to do it different than I did the last 12 months. I'm just going to be different. So here is what I'm going to encourage you with. If you want to have a good year in 2015, I honestly believe, based on Scripture, it's not going to happen by accident. It will not happen by accident. You will not just kind of flow through 2015 and find it a success this time next year. The only way you're truly going to find the fulfillment that you want of the year 2015 is to actually prepare for it. And as you prepare for the success, as you prepare for the fulfillment, as you set the goals, then you reach them and you find your fulfillment and you find what you were trying to accomplish. That's what the ants teach us. So, in what areas of life can we prepare for? Where can we become better in the coming year? Have you taken any time to evaluate yourself? I'm talking about every aspect of your life. Let me give you some ideas tonight just to get you thinking and to encourage you to consider different ways in which you could prepare and then attain the goals that you're looking to accomplish. Let's first talk about ministry in general. We all know that the Scripture says that when we are called in salvation, we are also called into the ministry of reconciliation. That means that when we trust Christ as our Savior, that every single one of us, in a sense, in a real true sense, enters into the ministry. In other words, we become what God desires to be as a useful tool in His toolbox. There is nobody that trusts Christ and then just kind of sits on the side and just only attends church and only tries to be fed. That's not the Christian life. If that were the Christian life, then the gospel and Christianity would never be propagated. It would never continue. So every single one of us has to have a sense of ministry about us. God has called us into salvation. He has called us into His family. He has called us to be one of His children. He desires for us to be His representative, His ambassador, and so He gives to us a specific ministry that He would desire for us to accomplish. I'm going to say this. Every single member of our church needs to commit yourself, prepare, and then work towards having some type of ministry in the year 2015. Every member of our church needs to do that. Every single person that sits in the pews of our church needs to have a specific ministry where if somebody walks up to you and says, as a member of Faith Baptist Church, what is your ministry? What is it that you are doing in service and fulfillment to the Lord within this body, within this congregation? You should be able to say at least one specific thing. This is what I do. This is my ministry. You say, well, I don't know if God has called me and given me some type of ministry. No, He has. Do you remember that when He calls the body of Christ together into a church, it is joined together. He brings every single person for a very specific purpose. He just uses kind of the body of a human to describe. Some are the ear and some are the hand. Some are the nose and some are the mouth. All of these features. So everybody has a purpose. Everybody truly does. And I'm going to encourage you in the year 2015, commit yourself to having a ministry. Just say, you know, this coming year, I want to have one particular ministry. There are different areas in which you can serve in the ministry. One area is very general. It's kind of like the John 12:26, where the Bible says, if any serve me, let him follow me. It's basically Jesus saying, if you want to serve me, follow me. This is ministry. It's complete dedication to God. Just God, I'm completely dedicating myself to you and to the ministry as you desire for me to serve you. I'm completely dedicated to you. Sometimes these are the reasons why we don't actually serve in the ministry, because we're not completely dedicated to the Lord. We follow Him in the sense of we believe that He died for our sins and rose again. But we don't follow Him to the sense where we are completely dedicated to Him and willing to do anything for Him as a priority. So why do you add as a priority? Because every single person in this room, I know you sense and you feel in one degree or another is too busy or too limited in resources to serve in ministry. Honestly, I know that. I completely understand that most people in this room are far too busy or far too much going on or far too much responsibility, and you're thinking, how can I possibly fit some type of ministry into my life? Well, it only comes when ministry becomes a priority. And the way it becomes a priority is when you just completely dedicate yourself to God. A dedicated Christian finds a way to serve Him as a priority. There are people in this church and there are people as Christians who serve to degrees that I have no idea how they could possibly serve that much. And honestly, they're busy people. And I think, I don't know, as busy as they are, how do they dedicate that much to the Lord? The only way that I can guess, the only thing that I can say is because they are completely dedicated to the Lord. And the Lord's service is always a priority. So make the complete dedication to the Lord a priority. You can also serve the Lord in ministry by just exercising your gifts within the church. The Bible says in Romans 12:6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. This means every single person in here has some kind of gift or some kind of talent, an ability. Every person does. Now, if you don't know what your gift or your talent or your ability is, then ask somebody who is close to you what they feel you are good at. And more than likely, that person will be able to tell you what your gift is because it comes out. It's a natural gifting. It exercises itself frequently in all types of different settings. But every one of us in this room has some kind of gift, some kind of talent. And the way that you can find ministry within the church is exercise that gift, exercise that talent. How does that break down practically? Well, it could break down in a lot of different ways. There are some people in this room that honestly, you come across like you genuinely care. You are some of the genuinely nicest people I've ever met. And honestly, I'm not one of those. I am not saying this is me. I am jealous of you. There are people in this room, you walk up, you shake my hand, you say, hi, Pastor, and I feel like you genuinely care about me, and all you did was shake my hand and say two words. There's something about you that just makes people feel like, wow, this person really cares. You know, honestly, that's a gift. I'm telling you, that's a gift. So how do you exercise that kind of gift within the church? Well, the best thing to do is go around and shake people's hands and say, how are you? And make especially new people in the church. Find new people and make the newer people feel welcome to the church like somebody in the church specifically cares. There's a younger couple that comes to our church that every now and then lately has kind of been sitting right up here in the front. And this younger couple that's been coming has communicated to me that they sense that people within the church really care. And I like hearing that. Those people within our church that have those abilities to make people feel welcome and cared for. You need to get out of your pew and spread yourself every single service. You need to get out there and do it. But I know that not everybody has that ability. In fact, there are probably some people in this room, there's just certain features about you. I'm not saying it's how you look or smell, not those kinds of features. But there's just certain things about you where there's no good way to get out of this one. So I'm going to go ahead and back out of that sentence, and I'm going to go to another gift, okay? Because that was not going anywhere good. And so, but there are certain people in this room that your gifts are not necessarily kind of people related, but you might have gifts that are work related. You're just good at working behind the scenes. You're good at thinking through things. You're good at kind of doing behind the scenes stuff. We've got a lot of different areas in our church, our ministry, that you can do all kinds of behind the scenes work. I'm saying every single person, whether you're a good cook, whether you make desserts, whether you write cards, whether you pray and you are just a prayer warrior, whether you are kind to people, whether you're a good song leader, whether you can sing songs, whether you can teach lessons, whether you can drive really well and you can drive people around. I don't know what it is, but you know what your gifts and your talents are. You know what you enjoy and you know what you're good at. So here's what I say. In the year 2015, make a plan of how you are going to exercise your gifts within the ministry of the Lord. Just make a plan of it. Say, this is what I am going to do to exercise my gifts within the Lord's body this year. Make a plan. Another thing that you can do is just fulfilling basic needs within the church. In Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 2, we're told how those that were the apostles that were starting to run out of time, and so they called the disciples together and they kind of said, we basically need to come up with some type of system because we're serving tables and we don't have an opportunity to prepare for messages and prepare for the study of God's Word. So they decided they would pull men together and call them deacons, and they came up with the whole process. All of that was basically the fulfillment of a need. The widows needed to be cared for, and somebody stepped up and cared for them. And honestly, sometimes that's how you get involved in ministry at this church. You hear of a need, and you step into it. You may not even think you're going to be the best at it, but there's a need, and you can kind of fulfill it. I'm not saying you step up thinking, hey, there's a need, and I am the man for the job. Put me in, you never have a need again. I'm not saying that's your attitude, but I'm saying your attitude is there's a need, and I'll try it. I'll do my best. And sometimes that's the type of thing that we need people to do in the ministry of the Lord. We need more people to say, I'll just step in and I'll do it. I don't know if I'll do the best, but I'll step in and I will do my best is what I'll promise you. That kind of just, I'm going to step in and fulfill it. These are ways you can actively get into the ministries of our church. There's a lot of practical areas you can serve. You know, we have a lot of technology ministries within our church. If you're techie and interested in those things, we have a lot of that. We have like the domestic ministries of our church of cooking a meal here and preparing a meal there and those kinds of things. That's another thing. We have mechanical needs within our church. We have a bunch of vehicles and we have all kinds of different things around the church that could use fixing up and cleaning up or repairing and those kinds of things. Lester Dalton is always fantastic at this, is he not, Brother Stephen? He has done in the last 2 weeks hours and hours here at the church, and he's the one that's really helping us kind of get some stuff ready over in the room, the additional overflow space that we're going to have. And so he has done a tremendous job with that. He comes, and Lester, I don't know, but Steve, I don't know if you know this, he always makes a statement. I was able to lead Lester to the Lord years ago. I don't know if you realize that. and his family and his mom and all kinds of people got led to the Lord through a funeral that I did, and they just kind of went from there. So every time Lester is around the church, I always go up to him and say, Lester, I'm so thankful for what you do. Your abilities are fantastic. I really appreciate all the work you do. And he'll always say something to the effect of, hey, you saved me, and I'm just going to do everything I can within the church. I used to say, Lester, it wasn't me that saved you, you know, but now I just gave up. I'm just like, yeah. That's good. So I just kind of gave up on that. But he's one of those. He just kind of fills the need wherever it's necessary. But he's a mechanical person. There are people type of ministries that we could use. You want to know a specific people ministry that we could use? Preach and I were actually discussing. One of the things that I firmly believe is when a person gets saved within our ministry and trusts Christ as their Savior, what is absolutely necessary for that individual is discipleship. Discipleship. I'm not talking about sit them in a Sunday school class necessarily even. I'm talking one-on-one. I'm going to take the Word of God. I'm going to teach you the basics. And then I am going to meet with you regularly. And then I am going to ask you, what is going on in your life right now? And I am going to help apply the biblical principles to your life. And I am not just going to teach you the Bible. I am going to teach you how to be a follower of Christ. How do you apply the scriptures to your life? Discipleship. Discipleship is one of those tremendous things that I truly love doing. If you say, Pastor Lopez, what's one of the most favorite things? It's obviously evangelism, but right on the heels of it is discipleship, because the two go together. I love meeting with people and walking them through it and training and teaching them in the Christian life. Do you know that right now, there are people that are sitting here. There's somebody, I can think of somebody right now, kind of sits up in this area every Sunday morning lately that I was able to lead to the Lord a few weeks ago. He said after he got saved, he said, can you give me something? I said, absolutely, I always do. So I gave him a discipleship booklet. It was like 8 lessons, multiple pages. He came back the next Sunday, showed it to me and said, look, I filled in every blank, it's all done. I thought, that's supposed to be 2 months, you know, and you did it in 7 days. All right, he's like, do you have anything else? Well, I do have a second level discipleship book. So I got the second level discipleship book, a little more intense, a little bit of stuff, took it to him, finished it all up too. Then the only thing that is the next step is meeting with an individual now, going through a third level discipleship program, and starting to not just teach and learn the Bible, but to teach how do you apply the Bible to your life? How do you overcome some of the issues? And the only thing that can do that is a one-on-one discipler. And honestly, I could tell you about people in the church that are exactly this way, but it cannot be done by just me trying to disciple everybody. Honestly, it takes too much time. It's like being a spiritual father to a person, honestly. A true discipler is like being a spiritual father to somebody, and you take that person under your wing, and you train them. You say, we could use that? Absolutely. Absolutely, positively, we need people who'd say, you know, Pastor, if you ever need somebody to disciple somebody, I can meet with them weekly. It's an investment of a lot of time and energy. We need that. We need people willing to teach. We need people willing to pray. Any way that you can engage yourself in ministry this year, I would say prepare for it. And as you prepare, you will reach your goals. But the only way you're going to truly be more active and successful in the ministry of this church is to make a plan, prepare to be successful, and then work towards the attaining of it. Not just ministry, but another I want to throw out to you really quick, and we have a few more minutes, is the area of finances. Finances. Money is one of those areas of life that always drives people crazy. Because it's either one of those things that you got plenty and you're just never worried about it, you're just always using it, or you feel like you're always tight and there's always a crunch. There never seems to be a whole lot of middle ground on that. Finances is one of those areas where really the only way you're going to be successful financially is if you make a plan and you follow your plan through. That's the only way you're going to be successful financially. Let me give you some ideas about being successful financially. The first thing I want to say is remember that the money that you have is given to you by God, and He does expect you to be responsible with it. Let me say this. Money is not a bad thing. I said this to my Sunday school class Sunday. Money is not a bad thing. I never look down on people because they have lots of money. In fact, if you have lots of money, I say that's good. That's a good thing. Have as much money as you possibly can. But you need to be wise with it and always remember that the money you have is given to you by God. You need to be responsible for it. God's going to keep you accountable for it. So make sure that you are being responsible. Don't think it's a bad thing. Don't think it's negative if you have money. It is a good thing. And let's not be the kind of church that looks negative on people that have money. It's a good thing. There's no problem with that. You know, according to the parable of talents in Matthew chapter number 5, God just simply expects your money to be used wisely. He wants you to have it and to use it wisely when you have it. So let me talk about some ways to use your money wisely. This coming year, plan on being faithful in your giving to the Lord. Just say, I'm going to be faithful this year in my giving to the Lord. Commit yourself to being faithful. Here's why I say that, because I know that when it comes to human life, money is one of those things where it is very easy to quickly be slightly unfaithful in giving to the Lord. We want to be faithful. We know we need to be faithful. And we know that if we give to the Lord, that He opens up the windows of heaven and He pours out so many blessings, we can't even receive it. We know the biblical principles of giving. But yet sometimes when the rubber meets the road, we feel a financial crunch, and the best thing we think we can do is actually cut out what we're giving to the Lord, or cut back on what we're giving to the Lord. I'm going to encourage you in 2015, commit yourself to supreme faithfulness of financial giving to the Lord. See what a difference that makes in your finances in the coming year. I promise you, if you're faithful to the Lord, He will be faithful to you. Commit yourself to faithfulness in giving to the Lord. Give Him what you can. Give not just the tithe, but give above and beyond if you can. Grace giving. Give to missions. Give to the building fund. Do everything you can this coming year in committing yourself financially to the Lord. But on a personal level, I would recommend that every single person work off of some type of financial budget in the coming year. If you've never worked off of a budget, then I would recommend that you sometime in the year 2015, I'm talking early, set up a budget and live off of a financial budget this year. Don't let this year be the kind of year where when you look back, you see that you have spent hundreds and thousands of dollars, and oftentimes you really can't even remember where it went. Don't let that this year be that kind of year. Keep a budget. Be a steward of your money. Be a wise keeper of your money. Whatever the kind of budget it is, use it. I explained to my Sunday school class this past Sunday, and talking about finances and so forth, that we personally use the envelope system. We've used the envelope system my family has for about 2.5 years. Has anybody ever used the envelope system or is currently using the envelope system? Several, yeah. All right, that's kind of the way we do it. So I told the class, it's funny because we get paid twice a month. So when I walk into the bank, I always kind of hand them a little piece of paper and like, hand me the money, you know. And it's always just a bunch of cash. Can I have this many hundreds or this many fifties or this many twenties? And I get it and then I assign it to specific accounts within an envelope system. It's a great system for us. It works great. I tell you, you value everything you buy when you actually put that green stuff on the table instead of just slide a card through a card reader. It's significant when you actually use cash. But it's a system that we use. The best thing about it is it keeps us on track financially. We know exactly where we're at. We know what we have. We know what we need. And we are able to also at the same time save up for those days where those rainy periods of life where you just need a little bit extra. I would say whatever budgeting system you need to use or want to use, it's fine. But use one this year. Don't be sloppy financially. That's not being a good steward. A good steward of your finances knows how much money you have, you know where the money is going, and it's being used in ways that are very wise. Be a good steward of your money. Live within your means financially this year. Live within your means. That means don't just go out and buy that splurge thing. This year. Don't do it. Not this year. Even though in the next 3 months, you're going to have all these commercials of people saying, with your tax refund, come buy this car. Come buy this big screen TV. Come buy this whole living room set. Just bring us your check and you're going to have a lot of that in the next 3 months. But this year, prepare to live within your means. Only spend what you have. And if you can't just give something for it then, if you think, well, I can do it, but I've got to put it on a credit card, and then maybe 3 or 4 weeks later, I should be able to pay it up. Don't do that. If you can't do it right then and there, don't do it. You say, but I'll pay it off in 4 weeks. That's if everything is okay in 4 weeks. What if something happens in the next 4 weeks and you can't pay it off? Then you've got the snowball effect. Live within your means. So if you can't afford that big screen TV, don't go buy the big screen TV. If you can't afford or it's going to push you too hard to get that nice vehicle, don't get as nice a vehicle. Live within what God has given you to live within. Don't say, God has given me this amount, but I'm going to do my best to live within this. Don't do that, because you're going to end up financially and spiritually frustrated. I'd also say establish and maintain some type of emergency savings. I would recommend that strongly. And let me also encourage you to do this. Every single Christmas, there is that extra strain financially that comes on people's lives because it's Christmas. I was thinking the other day, my wife and I were talking, I wonder how much people spend on Christmas. The average family spends on Christmas. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding. You're thinking, this is going to get awkward. I wouldn't do that. But we were wondering, I wonder how much, I know how much we do. I mean, obviously, I know, because we know, we do it all by cash. Here's what I'm going to recommend to you this year. If you feel any strain financially, and I mean strain by the sense of you're buying things, and you just know that you're kicking a can down the road, and probably like sometime in January, you're going to open up a bill, and there's going to be a whole pile of cans you kick down the road, and you're going to have to figure out a way to pay it then. It's going to make January a little bit tighter because you're going to have to pay out. If you have any extra financial strain because of Christmas, any extra whatsoever, might I recommend to you that you just come up with some type of Christmas savings now for Christmas of 2015? How does that work practically? However you want to work it. Once every week, just put 10 bucks, 20 bucks aside. How much ever you need to, I don't know how much you need for Christmas. I'm guessing grandparents spend the most because you buy for the most. I feel bad for you and I no, I'm going to be there one day, and I just have nephews and nieces, and I can't believe how much money I have to pay because of nephews and nieces. And so we stopped at two kids. I believe that's all the Lord's going to give us. So that way we're limiting the number of grandkids. The Christmases should be far inexpensive. I'm just kidding. I am just kidding. But I seriously feel bad. The older you get, the more your family expands. I can't believe how much you have to spend. Whatever the amount is, let me say this. Let me highly recommend just set a little aside every month, every week, every month, whatever works for you, every pay period. Just set money aside. I'm talking even cash or put in a separate bank account or have your bank actually transfer it to a separate account. Some banks offer like Christmas savings fund and they send you the check in early December or something. Do something like that. So next Christmas, there is zero financial strain on you because everything that you are purchasing has already been set aside and purchased basically through the course of the year by the money you've been setting aside. There is zero strain. There is never a period where you have to put out an extra dollar out of your bank account because it's all been saved up. I would recommend that you strongly recommend you do that. Also, how about paying down your debt? You know that debt is a bad thing. And if you can this year, try to financially pay down more debt. That'll make a huge difference on you and your life. It'll make a huge difference on you financially and even have a spiritual impact on you. Debt. Pay down debt. Let me end tonight by kind of emphasizing this. The last thing I would encourage you, the first thing we talked about was ministry, and then we talked about finances. In the last 4 minutes here, I want to encourage you, prepare to have a good year spiritually in the following year. This is ultimately the basis of everything you do and everything you have. How about you just commit yourself this coming year to being in a right relationship with God? Do your best this coming year to draw closer to God. You know, James 4:8 says, if you draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. How about this coming year you say, I really want this year to be a year where I feel like my relationship with God is improved and increased. I'm not even saying you've had a bad relationship in 14. I'm not saying you strayed from God in 2014. I don't know where you're at, but wherever you're at tonight, I'm talking about saying, Lord, I would like to be closer to you in 12 months than I am right now. I'd like to be closer to you. Help me that way. How about making a plan and preparing to draw closer to God in the coming year? Confessing all your sins to God consistently. turning away from habitual sins, those things that in 2014 have continued to hold you down and hold you back, those things like the besetting sins that just keep getting a hold of you. And this year, you're going to commit yourself to overcoming those besetting sins. And then you're just going to commit yourself to communing with God consistently. Consistent communion with God. Just commit to it. Try to have more and deeper times between you and God in the coming year. So that way your spiritual life continues to deepen and be greater rooted within the Word of God and within God Himself, and you continue to grow stronger spiritually. This is truly something that every single one of us should desire and reach for. But you know that you're only going to draw closer to God by coming up with a strategic plan. That's the only way it happens. Every single one of us tonight could come up to an altar and pray a prayer and say, God, this coming year, I'm going to draw closer to you. And I am going to walk with you. And I'm going to be like I've never been with you. And that's going to be how I'm going to be this coming year. And we could make a big decision and we walk out of here and absolutely nothing changes in our lives. But what I'm saying to you is prepare and plan on specifics of how you're going to do that. Every morning you're going to try to spend some time with God. Maybe during your lunch breaks you're going to try to spend some time with the Lord. Maybe right before you go to bed you're going to try to spend some time with the Lord. Maybe you're going to incorporate additional devotionals into your life to encourage your walk with God. Maybe you're going to download a couple of apps onto your phone and listen to some encouraging spiritual messages on the way to work or on the way home from work. Whatever it is, it's only going to happen by a strategic plan that helps you and empowers you to take one step and then another and then another. The only way you'll be closer to God in one year is if you take small steps every single day. And those small steps will lead you to a far deeper relationship with Him. So spiritually, make a plan to draw close to God and see how as you draw closer to Him, He draws closer to you. So what can we learn from the ant? We can learn this. The ant prepares and then the ant obtains. What I am asking you in at least three specific areas of ministry, finances, and spirituality, prepare. Come up with a plan so that through the course of the year, you attain. This is the wisdom that the ant provides for us. And I'm praying that every one of us will reach out and grab a hold of something. And in that something, we will have learned from that small little creature, the ant, and we will become wiser by it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for what you teach us. Thank you for how you encourage us, how you help us. And my prayer is that you would help us to stir up, to kind of come to the place where we start to try to put some of these things into our lives in the coming year. Where we need to get to will only be gotten to by a strategic plan. And I pray that through the Spirit of God, you would guide us and you would direct us and show us what you would have for us. I ask, Lord, for your guidance and blessings on everybody's life that's here. Thank you so much for their faithfulness. And I just pray that you would empower them to live and walk closer with you. I pray that you would have stirred some thoughts, some hearts, some motives, some ideas tonight so that way people can improve in specifically some of the areas we've talked about. I ask all of your help and blessings upon all of these folks, and may you give us all a safe night and a safe drive home. In Jesus' name, amen.